بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين وعلى آله وأصحابه والذين تبعوهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. وبعد إن شاء الله هناك going to continue our explanation of this book, the book of Al-Tawheed, written by Sheikh Muhammad bin Abdul Wahhab رحمه الله وبلل المغفرة إشراء. Last time we had explained the chapter about two chapters, I think we talked about the chapter speaking blessing and the chapter Islahing to other than Allah Azza wa Jal, right? What we call the action of the companion when they asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to assign for them a tree to hang their clothes on which to receive a blessing. The question is not clear. Can you move on to the question? In the hadith of Abi Waqid al-Layth, the companions, they asked the Prophet to assign for them a tree to hang their clothes on it. What is that action permissible? Why not? Okay, this is why it's not permissible, because it's resembling the disbeliever.
The
faith is that those when they have the tree,
they will
be placed
there and they're
so not that they look. Okay. So what do you call this action?
Shift.
What kind?
Depends on the intention.
No, that's what their intention was. What was their
manner?
Why they commit this act of thing?
They were new in
Islam. So from that we take this point, if somebody is new in Islam might fall into mistake. Therefore we have to learn our religion. We have to take the knowledge concerning issues of our religion. Give me an example of a transferable blessing.
That shows
the miracle of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But we want to give us an example. What could we see as a transferable blessing?
The
blessing that the Prophet had. Yes, something to that. When he make a wudu, he tries to take a wudu that is dripping off of his body. Sorry. Give me an example. What is slaughtering? Is it an act of worship? Give me the slaughtering which is an act of worship.
Okay.
Okay. Okay. Okay. Never. Those sort of things. Our slaughter is of an act of worship. Can we slaughter as not an act of worship?
To eat.
To eat. To invite. Riba biha. To eat and to invite. Okay, if somebody comes to your town and you are slaughtering to come closer to that person, is that permissible? No, you come closer to that person. As some people say, as a person coming out from the cow, they lay a sheep and they slaughter the right before him. You are slaughtering to this person, to glorify this person. Is that permissible? متأكدين؟ متأكدون؟
الله
أعلم. متأكد؟ إن شاء الله شك ولا إن شاء الله يا أخي؟ هذا of course that is an act of
تقرب عبادي؟
تقرب لا تقرب عبادي
تقرب عند حبة.
What is the evidence that flocking is to Allah عز وجل only?
إِنَّ
صَلَاتِي وَنُسُكِي وَمَحْيَايَ وَمَمَاتِي لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ.
صَلِّ لِرَبِّكَ.
My prayer, my fast, what else? My life and my death, my prayer and my slaughter, my life and my death is for Allah. مَا هَذِهِ اللَّامُ فِي لَفْظِ الْجَلَالَةِ إذا عادت اللام على الصلاة والنسك فهي لام الاختصاص، يعني صلاتي ونسكي مختصة بالله عز وجل. وإذا عادت على الحياة والموت فهي لام الملك، لأن الله هو الذي يملك الحياة والموت. We said about this ayah, Alhamdulillah, contains all types of tawheed. Can you give us example? Can you point to us how is that?
The one who says, my worship, Lord, that
is good to be. Do not say my worship.
My prayer.
My prayer. And my slaughter. Yes. What is that tawheed?
Good to be.
Rububiyya? Are you sure? Do you agree with him, Akhidwi? The question is, this ayah, إِنَّ صَلَاتِي وَنُسْكِي وَمَحْيَايَ وَمَمَاتِي لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ, it has all the elements of tawheed in it. Tawheed al-Rububiyya, wal-Uluhiyya, wal-Asma al-Sifat. How is that? He says, the prayer and the sacrification, that is Tawheed al-Rububiyya. Do you agree with him? No, he disagrees. How right he thought? Rububiyya is the Lordship. That is Tawheed al-Uluhiyya, the worship, not the Lordship, because the Lordship means lahu al-khalqu wal-mulku wal-tadbir. Life and death is Tawheed al-Uluhiyya, because life, your life and your death is created and controlled by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And where is Tawheed al-Asma al-Sifat? La shariq Allah. Nothing like unto him. Ya ikhwan, alhamdulillah, we have now copies of those things. You have to really review your material. What is the difference between a curse that comes in specification or a general curse? لعن الذي يأتي بالعموم ولعن المعين. Yes, we did. Okay.
يجوز أن نلعن عموما ولا نخصص.
ولا نخصص. Do you agree with that?
Yes.
Huh?
Yes.
Who's answer? You, I want your answer. It's not enough for explanation. We explained that last time.
I don't understand what he said.
So, what is the difference between the curse which is in general and the curse that is in specific? Remember in the chapter where the hadith, لَعَنَ اللَّهُ مَنْ ذَبَحَ لِغَيْرِ اللَّهِ. Allah has cursed the person who slaughters to other than Allah. So this is a general curse. So can we go around and if we see somebody who is slaughtering to other than Allah, tell him you in specific, you are cursed? So there is a difference between the general curse and the one that is in specific. Because everything has its own reason and conditions and restrictions. So if we hear that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, alayhi salam wa rahmatullah. So if we see a woman plucking her eyebrow, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam cursed the woman who plucked her eyebrow. So if we see a woman, her eyebrows are plucked, can we say to her, you are cursed in specific? We cannot say that. Because this is, the curse came in general. So we say to this woman, listen, Allah cursed the one who plucked her eyebrow. And whether you are cursed or not, that is the matter of the unseen after birth, inshaAllah, the question. After birth. The issue is, what does al-la'n mean? What is curse? What does it mean?
What is the
al-la'n? Al-tarj, al-ib'ad, al-la'n min Allah. To be expelled from the mercy of Allah, mashaAllah. Very good.
Can you give us an example of a specific
We as people, we cannot say anyone is specific is cursed unless we know of a person that the Prophet ﷺ named him as cursed. We know Fir'aun is cursed, for example, in person. We know Abu Lahab is cursed. We know Abu Jahl is cursed. But if we cannot derive a rule and say so and so in person is cursed, but we say he is doing an action that will bring upon those who do a curse of Allah. We move on to the chapter after that, and that is the chapter of لا يذبح لله بمكان يذبح فيه لغير الله. Make no animal sacrifice for Allah in a place where sacrifice is made for other than Allah Azza wa Jal. Last chapter we talked about, we should not slaughter to other than Allah Azza wa Jal. That is one issue. Now the second issue is, we should not slaughter to Allah in a place where people are slaughtering to other than Allah Azza wa Jal. So for example, if there is a statue and people are going and slaughtering next to that statue, and we want to go and slaughter our sheep for Allah Azza wa Jal in that place, we say it's not permissible for you to do that. Because you would be doing your slaughter in a place that the people are using to slaughter to other than Allah Azza wa Jal. Somebody will look at you and see both of you doing the same thing. They do not know what is in the heart. So they will assume everybody is slaughtering to other than Allah Azza wa Jal. Similar to that, and you know, when the time is sitting, it's not permissible for us to make salah and make prostration. Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, at that time, the disbelievers, they make prostration to the shaitan. Or better translation, at that time, the shaitan will position himself with the sunset, so when the people who do not believe in Allah make their prostration will be for the shaitan. When we are making prostration, of course we are making prostration to Allah Azza wa Jal. Nevertheless, the Prophet ﷺ forbid us from making prostration at that time for us not to be in any type of similarity with those disbelievers. With that being the case, we read the first ayah here. The first ayah, which is Surah the Tawbah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَا تَقُمْ فِيهِ أَبَدًا وَلَا تَقُمْ لا تقم لا ما مرض لا تقم فيه أبدا لمسجد أسس على التقوى من أول يوم أحق أن تقوم فيه فيه رجال يحبون أن يتطهروا والله يحب المطهرين. Do not never stand you therein. Verily, the mosque whose foundation was laid from the first day of piety is more worthy that you stand therein to pray. In it are men who love to clean and to purify themselves. And Allah loves those who make themselves clean and pure. This ayah was revealed when some people established a masjid. And they established this masjid not for the purpose of worshipping Allah, but they established it as a masjid, and their intention was to be in opposition of the Prophet ﷺ, to destroy the da'wah. But they did that in a form, in a way by establishing the masjid. The Prophet ﷺ told his Allah Azza wa Jalla told his Prophet, do not stand therein in that masjid at all. We know if the Prophet was to stand in that masjid to pray, he's not praying out of hypocrisy, nor he's praying out of opposing the message of Allah. He's praying for Allah. Yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him, do not stand therein. Because those who are hypocrites are standing there, and you should not be in the same place that they are in. Even though you are praying out of sincerity and they are praying out of hypocrisy, but from the outside, both of you are praying. So we should cut all types of ways and avenues that will lead to problems. Therefore, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, do not stand therein at all. Because verily, a masjid usita ala taqwa, a masjid that was laid on the foundation of taqwa, the foundation of piety, is more worthy to set yourself in. The foundation of the taqwa is very important for everything that we do. Everything that we do, that we have to found it on taqwa. We have to found it on God's feeling. We have to found it on being pious to Allah Azza wa Jal, for Allah to put His blessing in our efforts. وَهُنَا قَالْ أحق أن تقوم فيه. أحق هذه اسم تفضيل. والتفضيل يأتي أن هذا فيه خير والثاني فيه خير، ولكن هذا فيه خير أكثر. صحيح؟ ولكن أحيانا يا إخوان يأتي التفضيل وليس فيه أن النوع الثاني له فضل. ومن ذلك قول الله سبحانه وتعالى في القرآن الكريم، أصحاب الجنة يومئذ خير مستقرا وأحسن مقيلا. خير مستقرا هذا اسم تفضيل، وأحسن اسم تفضيل. هل هذا يعني أن الذين في جهنم لهم أي فضل وأي خيرية في مكان في الجنة؟ لهم أي الذين في جهنم لهم أي فضل وأي خيرية في إقامتهم في جهنم؟ لا، هذا اسم تفضيل، ولكن لا يفضل فيما فضل فيه. هذه أحد القواعد أو القواعد اللغوية. Here it says in the translation, a masjid that was laid on the first day on the piety is more worthy. When you say more worthy, that implies that the second thing is worthy. But this is more worthy, right? But in the Arabic language, you can bring and say this is more worthy, even if the other has no worthiness in it at all. So do not think by saying more worthy, the first or this masjid has some worthiness in it. It has none.
كآب نفسي يجاوب مجد
No, no, this is not what we're talking about. We are talking about, okay, in this specificity here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, do not pray in that masjid that was not, that was built to oppose the Prophet, because a masjid that is built on piety is more worthy to be in it. When we hear more worthy to be in it, we should not think that this masjid was built to oppose the Prophet has any worthiness in it. It has no worthiness in it, none whatsoever. But the expression in Arabic could come to be something that's more worthy, even though what is in opposition of that has no worthiness, none whatsoever. Having said that, we go on to the hadith that the author brought in this chapter, and that is نذر رجل أن ينحر إبلا ببوانة ببوانة نذر رجل أن ينحر إبلا ببوانة فسأل النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فقال هل كان فيها وثن من أوثان الجاهلية يعبد؟ قالوا لا. قال فهل كان فيها عيد من أعيادهم؟ قالوا لا. فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أوفي بنذرك فإنه لا وفاء لنذر في معصية الله ولا فيما لا يملك ابن آدم. This hadith says, a man made a vow to slaughter camels and a plate called bawana. A man made the oath to slaughter some camels in a place named Bawana. Then he came to the Prophet inquiring about his oath. Should he do it? Should he not do it? Is it legal to do that? It's not legal. He came inquiring about his oath. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him, was there at any time in that place an idol that is worshipped? The man said no. He said, was that place at any time a place to hold the celebrations of the disbeliever? The Prophet said no. Then the Prophet said, cancel your oath, because verily you cannot cancel an oath if it was in the disobedience of Allah or if it was in something that you have no possession of. For us to understand this hadith, we have to understand the oath. What is the oath? Another. The oath is when you say or you commit yourself to do a certain type of worship. This is an oath. Fasting Monday is not mandatory upon you, is it? If you say to yourself, by Allah, it's an oath upon me to fast Monday, then fasting Monday will be mandatory upon you. You are making an oath to fast on that day. So when we commit ourselves to make an oath, that act of worship will become mandatory. We cannot make an oath and say we're going to make an oath to pray Dhuhr, because praying Dhuhr is already mandatory upon you. We cannot say I'm going to make a nadr to fast Ramadan, because something is already mandatory upon you. But you can make an oath that you're going to fast some day, you're going to fast a week, then fasting this week will become mandatory upon you. And in making the nadr, making an oath is an act of worship. يُقُولَ بِالنَّذْرِ وَيَخَافُونَ يَوْمًا كَانَ شَرُّهُ مُسْتَطِيرًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about the people that they will fulfill their oath. So making an oath is an act of worship. So this man made an oath to slaughter some camel in that place. Now it's mandatory upon him to slaughter this camel. However, if a person makes an oath in something that contains disobedience to Allah Azza wa Jal, his oath cannot take place. If somebody says, I'm going to make a nether to drink alcohol, then he must not fulfill his oath, because it's haram. If somebody say, I make an oath to go to the moon, it's haram for him to make such an oath. With that being the case, and that being explained, now remember that this man made this oath, and he went to Prophet inquiring about his oath. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked him, was there any statue that was located in that place and the people used to worship it? And remember, that was in the past, because now Islam has prevailed. There is no more statue, and there is no more celebrations of the days of ignorance, the days of al-jahiliyyah. But was there anything in the past? He said no. Then he inquired. He said, was there any celebration of the days of al-jahiliyyah, the days of ignorance? Was there any celebration that used to take place in that place? The man said no. Then he told him, you can do your nether. You can fulfill your vow. From that we take the implication of this hadith. If there was any statue in that place, then he cannot fulfill his vow, because he would be doing it in the same place that the disbelievers used to do it. The implication of the hadith, if they had any celebration in that place before, now it's haram to slaughter over there, because it used to be one of their spots. And we should not put our slaughter in a place that they used to occupy, or they used to make use out of it. And the reason for that, for us not to assemble ourselves after them in any way, in any shape, in any form. So, ya ikhwan al-kiram, if it's not permissible for us to do an act of worship, such as making the vow or fulfilling the vow in a place that used to be the place of celebration for the disbeliever, do you think it's permissible for us to participate in their alive celebration? See? If we are not permitted to do the oath in a place that was their place of celebration, do you think it's permissible for us to celebrate the New Year Eve? Or to celebrate Christmas? Of course not. That would be one of the major sins that we do if we fall into those practices. And again, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave him this permission, and that goes to prove that we cannot slaughter our vows in a place that used to be a place of worship. The reason being, we cannot assemble ourselves after them. The reason being, if somebody sees you slaughtering there, he say you are reviving the tradition of the days of ignorance. If somebody sees you are doing that, they will think you are supporting the disbelievers. But always, in Islam, they cut the ways. They stop the problem before it takes place. Al-Islam comes and stops the problem before they take place and magnify themselves to be a major problem. So having said that, then it's not permissible for us to make an oath that will have any haram in it. What if a person makes an oath that has a haram in it? What does he have to do after that? If somebody makes an oath, he says, I vow to Allah that I'm going to beat this person. And he's not doing that as an act of worship. He was angry. What is the situation concerning that? Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in the hadith that was narrated by Ibn Abbas who was in Sahih al-Jami', إِنَّ النَّذْرَ نَذْرَانِ فَمَا كَانَ لِلَّهِ فَكَفَّارَتُهُ الْوَفَاءُ بِهِ وَمَا كَانَ لِلشَّيْطَانِ فَلَا وَفَاءَ لَهُ وَعَلَيْهِ كَفَّارَةُ الْيَمِينِ. There's two types of nether. A nether that for the sake of Allah, and you have to fulfill. And a nether for the sake of Shaitan. A nether that you're not doing it to worship Allah, but for something else, some other reason, then you have to do what you have to do if you swear. If you make an oath, if you make a qasam. If you swear by Allah. If you say, I swear by Allah, I'm going to do this. And then you do not do it, you have to do certain things. Either you feed 10 poor people, you clothe 10 poor people, or you set an enslaved person free from slavery, and if you cannot find any of that, then you can fast 3 days. The first three, al-adq, to set free, no, that is al-qasam, al-yameen, kafarat al-yameen. Kafarat al-yameen, you are having the option of three things. To set some a slave person free. To feed 10 people, or to clothe 10 people.